in the springtime. I love Paris in the
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Philippe Malliere, who's a professor of French and European politics at University College London. In 2007, he was awarded the Marcel Liebman Chair in Political Science by the Université Libre de Bruxelles. His main publications are about the French Socialist Party, French politics, and European social democracy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Philippe Malliere.
Hello.
And you wrote a piece recently in The Guardian of the UK, France Grows Tired of Nicolas Sarkozy, its half-baked president. I guess in terms of the results, the elections were almost half-baked with François Hollande, the socialist, coming in at 28.6% to Sarkozy's 27.1%. What's your response to the election?
Yes, on the face of it, they are neck and neck. There's only one and a half points between the two front runners. In reality, and this is probably the complexity of the French system compared to the American one, in the first ballot, in order to be elected, any candidate needs to secure at least 50% of the share of the vote, which is no one has ever achieved that, not even De Gaulle in the 1950s. So there's a second ballot where only the two front runners qualify. And the reason why, you know, I can confirm my prediction that, in fact, Sarkozy is in deep water and will probably lose the election in 2 weeks' time, is that when you look at the transfers of votes between other candidates on the left and on the right, it appears that Hollande is largely ahead. You know, the predictions today are, you know, the difference of 56% against 44. That's on average what you get.
Well, isn't this the first time since the foundation of the Fifth Republic that a president has lost an election?
Absolutely. It is the first time since the launch of the Fifth Republic back in 1958 that an incumbent president loses the first round, which, you know, it's a very, very poor start for Sarkozy. And, of course, again, that isn't to say that he will necessarily lose the second round, but again, the rapport de force, the difference between left and right, that is Hollande for the left and Sarkozy for the right, is again detrimental to Sarkozy. Hollande is a much stronger position. Then there is, of course, the big question mark, which is, of course, the surge of the far right, Marine Le Pen's candidacy, who came third in the race. She got 18% of the share of the vote, which is a very good result, the best result ever for the French extreme right. And again, you might think, you know, extreme right, and the vote should go to the closest candidate, which is the Sarkozy on the right. That's more complex because, in fact, you realize when you study the sociology of that electorate, it is a very heterogeneous type of electorate. Of course, a majority of them, about 50% of them, will vote for Sarkozy, but there is a significant fraction which will vote for Hollande, and the rest will abstain. Those voting for Hollande will do it on the grounds that on socioeconomic matters, Hollande is, of course, being a socialist, being a social democrat. They'll be better off with him. That shows that in the electorate of Le Pen for the far right, you have now a substantial amount of blue-collar working-class people.
Well, conversely, I guess the leftist candidate, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who is backed by the Communist Party, he came in fourth with almost 12%, and he very emphatically and unconditionally urged his supporters to vote for Hollande in the runoff. I find it very interesting, and I'm sure a lot of commentators in Europe, Philippe Malliere, are quite concerned about the rise of the vote, where one in five French voters voted for the far-right candidate, even though she's not a traditional fascist like her father. The notion that the young, unemployed, working-class French are voting for this somewhat xenophobic candidate. We have 50% unemployment amongst the young in Spain. I believe unemployment amongst the young in France is close to 30%, isn't it?
Yes, that's about a figure, yes. I think, yes, there was, I think the result, you mentioned the Left Front led by Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who, by the way, is not a representative of the far left. He's someone who comes from the Socialist Party. So not so long ago, he was a member of Hollande's party. He was a cabinet minister in Lionel Jospin's government in 2002. So he's a man who, in fact, gave up on social democracy altogether, thinking it's far too centrist now, far too in line with free market politics. Although, to be fair, the French Socialist Party is very different from, say, the UK counterpart, you know, Tony Blair's, Gordon Brown's New Labour. They're more to the left of that, but still not left-wing enough for him. So the phenomenon around Mélenchon was very interesting. Although he didn't get finally the 15% or so that the polls were predicting at some point, he still got 11% of the share of the vote. He is supported by the communists, but also he's supported by a coalition of other left-wing groups and parties. And it's not, in my view, a kind of nostalgia for 1970s-style politics, you know, class against class. It's a new left which is developing, and I think France is probably at the forefront of this new left coming up. It's a left which is, in fact, has made an assessment of the current economic crisis, saying, well, neoliberalism has failed, and the current austerity policies very much induced by monetarist policies and thinking will be bound to fail. Look at Greece, look at Portugal, look at Spain, they argue. It is bound to fail. So we need a break. We need to really do something very different. And that has proved very appealing to a number, not at all of far-left-wing people, people who would normally vote for the far-left, but people who would normally vote for the socialists. That is, people working in the public sector, teachers, nurses, young people, retired people have been coming en masse. And I think Mélenchon is a superb orator, the best orator in the campaign, drew to his rallies, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in Marseille, in Paris. It was very, very impressive. So in the end, this electorate will be very disciplined. They'll vote en masse for Hollande. Why, you might say, because I've just said they're quite disillusioned with social democracy. They'll do it because they want anyone but Sarkozy in power. So, of course, they will vote for the lesser of the two evils. And, of course, Hollande, nonetheless, however moderate he might be for them, is still a man on the left.
Again, I'm speaking with Philippe Mallier, who's a professor of French and European politics at the University College in London. In 2007, he was awarded the Marcel Liebman Chair in Political Science by the Université Libre de Bruxelles. His main publications are about the French Socialist Party, French politics, and European social democracy. So in a curious way, of course, Sarkozy himself is a throwback to Ronald Reagan here in the United States and Margaret Thatcher in the United Kingdom. And you just were saying then, a minute ago, Philippe, that there's a resurgence of a kind of new left in France, whereas you've basically got the old right, as far as we're concerned, running the country. He's basically been rejected. I mean, the left never liked him, but I think, didn't he get Sarkozy get rejected by many elements on the conservative side because he was too pushy, too flashy, too, you know, he celebrated his victory hanging out with his rich friends on a yacht? My understanding is that his style even offended some conservatives in France.
Absolutely, you're absolutely correct about that. There's a personality issue when it comes to Sarkozy. In fact, I don't think the French ever warm up to the man. I think he, in the first place, won the 2007 election because his then opponent, Ségolène Royal, for the Socialist Party, wasn't seen as a credible president. So he beat her, and of course he wasn't the president yet, so no track record, if you like. But it is fair to say that from the start, there was a personality issue in a sense. You know, people didn't like so much his style, his mannerism. He can be a man sometimes a bit too casual, sometimes even rude in public. And the French, you know, surprisingly, this is another paradox of French political life. They abolished monarchy, they cut the king's throat, but in the end, they like this formality in politics, and their president is often seen as a kind of Republican monarch, you know, with the style, with the pomp. Think of De Gaulle, Mitterrand. They really embodied this sort of monarch in the French Republic. Sarkozy was different. And also the bling, you know, his bad manners, a number of things. He's a man who's seen, his nickname is the president of the rich people. So it is really something which went down very badly with the electorate at large. But I think that there's another, and I think a more profound problem with Sarkozy, it is policies, notably in socioeconomic areas, which have been also very unpopular from the start. Number of reforms in pensions and education, in public services, also in taxation. You know, one of the first measures he ever took when he was elected in 2007 was a reform of the tax system, which was extremely favoring the very rich, you know, the sort of 1% of the population, very rich at the expense of the rest. So that was also seen as a kind of fiscal gift to the very rich. And from then on, it was very, very hard for him to be seen as a fair, impartial president above the melee. And he was seen on the contrary as a very partisan, very right-wing president. So what are we to make of all that? You said, yes, it's a kind of belated version of Thatcherism or Reaganism in French politics, which is a bit funny because France never experienced Reaganism or Thatcherism when it was in fashion in the US or in the UK. Yes, he tried that, some also nicknaming the French neocon. I don't know about that, but what is for sure is that the French have a tradition, you know, free markets to some extent, not too much of it. They're very attached to state intervention, notably strong, buoyant, well-funded public services. They're very proud of them in health, in education. And they so progressively, which is in fact part of the French lifestyle, you know, which is sometimes talked about in the world. You know, how is it that the French have it so good? Well, probably because they, at some point, made the political decision to fund them. And it costs money, and to fund them by probably taking the money where it is from the rich, notably. That has changed progressively. I'm not saying it started with Sarkozy, but Sarkozy clearly has made it even worse. And I think the French have this sensation that, you know, they're losing their lifestyle. They're losing what makes France a little bit different from other European and world countries. And for all these reasons, he's seen as the man who is largely responsible for this loss of not only power of France in the world, but also the fact that France is no longer the France they knew before, which is a France where finally you could get jobs, but also you could get a good lifestyle. This is very important for the French. There's not only GDP at stake. There's also your lifestyle, how you live. Do you live well? And it's important for the French after a long, after working many years to be able to retire. And, you know, for them, work is important, but also when you come in old age, it is important to retire and not drop dead at work. You know, all these reasons, all these reforms, for instance, in pensions, they were very unpopular. So I think he's paying the price for all these changes now.
So, Philippe Mallier, tell us a little about the likely next president, François Hollande. He apparently is, I suppose, a little bit like our Al Gore, who won the 2000 election, and the first thing he did was concede unnecessarily. And then later, of course, the Supreme Court, dominated by conservatives, gave George W. Bush the presidency, mm-hmm. In the sense that Al Gore was a stiff publicly, but in private, he was a very funny, witty, self-deprecating person. And I understand mm-hmm. that François Hollande is a lot like that. He comes across rather stiff on the stump, but in private, he's quite charming and witty. And also, now, he was married to the woman that lost, right? Is that right?
Absolutely.
Tell us that. It sounds a little bit like a soap opera, but tell us about it.
Quite, yes. He was married to Ségolène Royal, in fact, the candidate for the Socialist Party 5 years ago, in 2007. At the time, Hollande was still the leader of the party. So imagine the leader of the party, whose partner, because they were not married, although they have three children together, a partner running for the presidency while him being the leader of the main opposition party at the time. They split just after the campaign, just after the election. So Hollande, your depiction of Hollande, his character notably, is accurate. You know, he's a man who's seen as rather dull in public. He's led so far, I think, a very cautious campaign, not revealing too much about his intentions. I think he's proving quite astute, because although Sarkozy has had a very right-wing campaign and now very much prisoner, his fate is in the hands of the National Front voters, because his campaign has put him so much on the right of the political spectrum. Whereas Hollande has kept a fairly centrist position, he's now going to get a large fraction of the left front vote, that is the New Left Party. He's going to get also the vote from the Greens, the Ecologist Party. So without having to change his tactics or his orientation. So for him, it's things, you know, look pretty good for the second round. So yes, in private now, he's a pretty witty man, like Al Gore, funny. He's someone who's he's a bon vivant. He likes eating. One of the big changes is in his life, that is, he lost 10 kilos before the campaign. That was one of the important things he did before starting the campaign. He had to lose weight because he was overweight. But more seriously, when it comes to policy, he was always a centrist in the Socialist Party. He was always, if you like, a very moderate social democrat. He was, he's no Mélenchon, the leader of the left front. He's a man who, on Europe, for instance, was always on the conservative side of the argument. He didn't vote against, for instance, the constitutional treaty in 2005 when the Socialist Party split on that issue. He's a man who will, I think, on a number of issues have already hinted at austerity policy should he be elected. Of course, the difference with Sarkozy is that it's the pace and the depth, the scope of his austerity policies. He says that they can only be implemented if we renew with growth. Without growth, we can't have a harsh austerity policy, because that will punish ordinary workers. So we'll not be doing that. However, he's talked about austerity policy. So on the whole, I think he wants to present himself as a kind of normal president. It's a bit the normalization of the function following the bling, the hyperactivism of Nicolas Sarkozy, which the French seems to be fed up with. So it's clearly going back to a kind of president which is not the sort of large character such as Mitterrand or de Gaulle or even Giscard d'Estaing in the 1970s, but a more modest type of presidency. It will be hard for him if he's elected, because he's got very strong extreme right. And on the other hand, you've got also a strong resurgent left. So being a centrist, but leading at the same time the left, it's a bit of a difficult equation for him.
Well, just in closing, Philippe Mahlier, already the European Commission, President of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, and the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, in reacting to that one in five French voters voted for the right-wing National Front, they've warned that right-wing populist politics are a threat to Europe. Give me your analysis of whether this is something to be concerned about.
Well, I think it's very ironic from the leaders of the European Union to come out and say, well, there's a threat of the far right. Of course, there's a threat of the far right, and I would agree that it is something very worrying. However, that's what they say every time there is a surge of the far right, and not only in France, you know, when it happens in other European countries. Because the far right is, of course, not only, unfortunately, only a French phenomenon. It has become a European phenomenon across Europe. So they will come out and say that, you know, be careful. I think there's a lot of analysis and available studies in the academic world to show that, in fact, there's a correlation between the rise of the extreme right and the deepening of economic recession, and the fact that now more and more Europeans live in poverty, have to face very harsh conditions in terms of wages, in terms of unemployment, in terms of, and they also worry about the future of their children, education, and so on and so forth. So there is a correlation, and when you really carry out qualitative studies amongst the population which voted for Le Pen yesterday, you realize that these are people really worried about their future. They're not, as you were saying earlier, you know, committed fascists in the sense they believe in fascist ideology. Not at all. It's people really saying we are against this elite in France, in Europe, this establishment, which has been, you know, implementing all these policies, making us pay for the crisis that we're not responsible for. And why? You know, we need to change the system. So it's really a protest vote in the sense that they want really a new set of policies to really change the situation. But of course, that's not what European leaders or French leaders or Nicolas Sarkozy, that is, are doing. So of course, this crisis and the vitality, the strength of the extreme right is, I'm afraid, there to stay.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Philippe
Malliet. You're welcome.
Again, I've been speaking with Philippe Malliet, who's a professor of French and European politics at University College London. In 2007, he was awarded the Marcel Liebman Chair in Political Science by the Université Libre de Bruxelles. His main publications are about the French Socialist Party, French politics, and European social democracy. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back getting an economic analysis of where the Eurozone stands and how much this election may affect it.